Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we're looking forward to Good Friday coming up in a few days and resurrection celebration on Sunday. Friday presentation, we're all prodigals. I've already received my we're all prodigals until we are home bracelet. You'll receive one of these on Friday. It's a message of inspiration and remembrance and also a good conversation piece to speak to somebody about the gospel when you're wearing that and they ask, what's written on that bracelet of yours? So we look forward to this week, and this morning I'm going to minister on the subject title, Make Me a Sanctuary. Make Me a Sanctuary. And I trust the word will change lives today and instruct us in the ways of the Lord. Make me a sanctuary, out of Exodus 25 and verse 8. The Lord said, and let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. I think of how the Lord condescends for our lives. He says, let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. I trust that we can hear the voice of our Father this morning. Let them make me a sanctuary that the people of God have to form and fashion a place for the dwelling place of God, for the presence of the Lord. Now, the Lord will build his church, but he said, I want you to make me a sanctuary, a dwelling place, a place that is set apart, a hallowed place for my presence and for my will to be done. I want to begin today with Revelation 21. Revelation 21. So we're going to be looking at the house of God. I want to speak on the house of God, the building of the Lord, the relationship of each of us to one another, and also our relationship to the Lord. In Revelation 21 and verse 5, verse 1 to 5, we have some interesting words. The Bible says, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. We are now living in the first created heaven and earth. But there is a day coming. Jesus Christ is going to return, the second coming of our Lord. It will be the judgment of this world and the recreating of this world, 2 Peter says, in righteousness. The Lord will recreate this world, and it'll be a world without sin, without suffering, without stain. It'll be a place for the righteous to dwell forever with the Lord. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, that's the heavenly Jerusalem, the people of God. We are born of her, the Bible says. You only get into this heavenly Jerusalem by a new birth, by accepting Jesus Christ as Savior. John says, I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle, or the house of God, is with men. The imagery here, a city, a bride, a house of the Lord, a temple, it's all the same. It's synonymous, different images, but the same thought. It's the Lord and his people. And he said, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. The tabernacle of God coming down out of heaven, the house of God in the heavens coming down on the recreated new heavens and new earth. God wants to dwell with men. God wants to dwell with men. This morning I want us to understand that there is a house of God in the heavens, and there is a house of God in the earth. And that house of God in the earth is represented in individual assemblies, local congregations, as they gather before the Lord under authority and under leadership in the presence of the Lord. There is a house of God in the heavens. There is a house of God in the earth. Jesus said in John 14, 2, I go to prepare a place for you. Don't let your heart be troubled. I go to prepare a place for you. In my Father's house are many dwelling places, many mansions. He's talking about that heavenly home, that heavenly house. He said, I go to prepare for a place for you. This morning, in our mind's eye, in our spirit, let's understand there is a house in the heavens and there is a house in the earth. And the house in the earth is to be a reflection of the house in the heavens. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Now, there are many illustrations given to us of the people of God in the Bible. We understand the bride and the city, the flock, the army. But one of the most prevalent and common is that of a building. That we are, as the people of God, a building that is set together, that is built together properly, and that we have function and design. I want to refer this morning to the tabernacle of Moses in the Old Testament. We understand there was a temple in the Old Testament. There was a tabernacle established under Moses, and it was a place of the dwelling place of God with his people. And that it was a structure where God would come and meet with his people. I want to show you the picture of this that we took personally on the Land of the Bible tour. And you can see the tabernacle in the Old Testament, the place that Moses was commanded to build, make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. And we see the outer court. By the way, the dimensions of this entire structure would fit inside this building. Approximately 75 feet wide, 150 feet long. That was the outer court. And then you can see the structure proper, which has the curtains on it and the pillars in front of it. That was the tabernacle of, or house of God proper. And inside was the holy place and the Holy of Holies, which had the Ark of the Covenant. Now, this tabernacle was a picture, God said, of something that is in the heavens. And I want to bring a couple scriptures forward. Hebrews chapter 8, first of all. And let's read what the scripture says on this tabernacle or this earthly building. Now, this is the main point of the things we are saying. We have such a high priest who is seated at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord erected, and not man. There is a true tabernacle. There is a true house of God in the heavens. Then he begins to talk about the ministry of the high priest. But it says further down that they serve the copy and shadow of the heavenly things. As Moses was divinely instructed when he was about to make the tabernacle, for he said, see that you make all things according to the pattern shown you on the mount. There is a true tabernacle. There is a true house of God in the heavens. And the tabernacle that we read about in the early books of the Bible was a copy, an example, a shadow of that heavenly sanctuary. It is a shadow, but it's different from other shadows because shadows are merely a dark spot on the earth. But this tabernacle was complete with color and design and detail and measurements and all the glory of God in it. Now, when we look at this tabernacle on the earth again and the house of God in the heavens, the book of Revelation is quite interesting because we are able to see into heaven. The Bible says John saw a door open in heaven and he went up and he saw things and he described them. But let's look at a few quick verses. Revelation 8, 3 to 5. Then another angel having a golden censer came and stood at the altar. He was given much incense. This is an altar in heaven. He was given much incense that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints ascended before God from the angel's hand. Then the angel took the censer, filled it with fire from the altar, and threw it to the earth. And there were noises or voices, thunderings, lightnings, and an earthquake. There is an altar of incense in the heavens, a golden altar. And the prayers of the saints are ascending up to that golden altar. And there is a ministering angel that is receiving our praises, receiving our worship, receiving our intercession. And there is result in the heaven because he casts incense on that, in with that prayer. And there is result that takes place in the earth. Fire falls into the earth. Voices of the Lord, communications of God, lightnings, split-second revelation, and thunderings, which are impact messages from the Lord, and earthquakes, which begin to break up foundations that have long held people captive. There is a golden altar in the heavens. Then we have in Revelation 11, 19, then the temple of God was opened in heaven. The temple of God was opened in heaven, and the ark of his covenant was seen in his temple. A temple, holy of holies, ark of the covenant in heaven, and there were lightnings, noises, thunderings, and earthquake, and great hail. Hail to destroy the enemies of the Lord. Revelation 15:5, after these things I looked, and behold, the temple of the tabernacle of the testimony in heaven was opened. The temple of the tabernacle of the testimony, that is the word of God, was opened in heaven. So I'm trying to bring a few scriptures together here at the beginning to again show us there is a house of God in the heavens. That Jesus, the Bible says, when he died on the cross and was resurrected, that he took his blood and he presented it before the Father in the heavenly places. And that there was a purification in a cosmic way, a universal way before the presence of the Father. Now we are to be a representation of the house of God in the earth. We are to be built together in this life, in this earth. God says, make me a sanctuary. It's our responsibility to form a dwelling place for the Spirit of God. Make me a sanctuary. I trust we can hear that in the deep of our spirit. How deeply the Lord longs that we would stand together and form ourselves properly and fashion our lives in such a way that we can truly become a dwelling place of his Spirit and of his presence. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 19 to 22. Familiar words to us. The Apostle Paul says, now therefore we are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building, fitly framed, tightly joined together, grows unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation, a dwelling place of God through the Spirit. This is incredible. This is amazing that the God of heaven says, I want you to make me a sanctuary. I want you to join your lives so tightly together in my purpose that I can come and dwell in the midst of you. Make me a sanctuary. The privilege of being builded together as an habitation of God through the Spirit. Built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ, our chief cornerstone, and now the whole building growing together. The Apostle Peter said in 1 Peter 2:5, he said, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. You are a people that are being built up into a spiritual house that you can offer sacrifices that are acceptable to the Lord. And Hebrews 3 and verse 6 says, whose house we are, Christ as a son over his own house, whose house we are. Let them make me a sanctuary. Let them join their lives together so that I can come and dwell in the midst of them. So often we view the church from our perspective. What can the church do for me? What is the church doing for me? How can the church minister to me? But there is a higher perspective, and that is the perspective of the Lord. He is his responsibility, or his perspective comes first. This house, this church is first for the Lord. And what is he receiving? What is he receiving from our lives? The worship, the togetherness, the unity, the purpose, the gospel outreach. Make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. Hallelujah. Let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. Last week I spoke on the tabernacle of Moses and showed the main compartments of the tabernacle, the outer court, the holy place, and the holy of holies, and aligned them with John chapter 14 and verse 6, where Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. That as we looked at it last week, there are 9 specific and concise experiences that lead us on in God, that take us through to our full development in the Lord. 9 specific experiences that we need to engage in our lives. 9, the number of the Holy Spirit. And we understand that our Christian life is both crisis and process, that it is point in time we were born again, accepted Christ as our Savior, forsake all to follow Him, and then that our salvation is also progressive in time, that the Lord leads us and develops us. And Proverbs 4:18 says, the path of the just is as the shining light that shines more and more under the perfect day. That is, as a believer walks with God, the light doesn't lessen. The world doesn't grow dimmer in their spirit as that far as that goes in God. But their light and their salvation increases until the day they stand before Jesus Christ in all His glory. What a glorious walk we have with the Lord. What a path of righteousness. Now today I want to talk about the tabernacle proper, the building itself, the construction of the building. And the Lord has given us these illustrations in His Word so we can visualize how to order our lives appropriately for Him. We all understand a building. A building is formed of certain materials. There's coverings on it. There's furniture inside of it. And God says, that's how my house is. But I want to talk about the boards of the building today, not the furniture inside, but the boards of the building and how the building is constructed. And in the Old Testament, when God put His house together, He had boards that were lined up side by side down the walls. He had bases or foundations in which those boards were secured so they wouldn't break or bow and fall out of the wall. He had connecting rods that ran through gold rings. There were gold rings attached to every board, a number of them, and 5 gold rods would go through these rings and hold the entire structure tight, that we would be tightly joined together as a building of the Lord. There were coverings upon the tabernacle of God, a ceiling, obviously, and made of many beautiful colors and woven with cherubim, so when you looked up, you could see the glory of God in His house. And then there were other curtains and or other material and other coverings to protect this house of God, and it became a dwelling place for the Lord. Now the Lord, first of all, when He puts us into the building of His house, we understand that we have to be shaped and formed. The house of God, the tabernacle, was made of acacia boards lined up side to side to form a wall of the house. Acacia wood came from the wilderness. It was a tree that grew in the wilderness area of the Sinai and areas where the people of God traveled as they went to Mount Sinai. And this wood of this acacia tree, and they could become quite large, was hard wood. It was gnarled wood. It was twisted wood. And it represents each of our lives, how that when God comes, He has a purpose in mind to make us part of His temple and of His house. But when He first comes to seek and to save the lost, we are out there growing in a wilderness world, far from His presence, far from His purpose for our lives. And we are twisted and we are gnarled. But the Bible says that the axe comes to the root of the trees in repentance, that God cuts us off from this life, from the growth and from the sap, from the moisture that we took from this world, and He cuts us out, and we're severed from the world. We're crucified unto the world, and the world is crucified unto us. We are taken out from where the other trees of this world live, and we are brought to the presence of the Lord. And the Lord has to do something with us. He has to cut those trees. Trees have to be cut to be made into boards. And those boards have to be shaped, and those boards have to be sanded. And then when they fashioned those boards, and they were about 27 inches wide and about 9 inches thick, cubit and a half width and a half cubit, or length and a half cubit width, and they were 10 cubits high, about 15 feet high. God likes 15-foot ceilings in His house, I guess. Those boards were shaped and cut, and then they were covered with gold. the gold of divine nature. No, we are acacia wood. We are humanity. But we've been cut off from the world for the purpose of God. And you know what happens when you cut wood from a tree and you want to have boards for a house, that there has to be a drying out process. And the moisture has to come out of us. Some of the sap, some of the life that we had in the old world, we have to dry up. Sometimes when somebody is born again, there's still a lot of moisture from the old life. And it takes a few weeks for them to dry out. And you can help the process by getting close to the fire. Get into the fire kilns. Get into the presence of God. You can dry out rather quickly. And then the Lord takes us and he covers us with gold. The Bible says we've been covered over with the gold of divine nature, the very glory of God. Now we know who we are. Inside we are acacia wood. We are humanity, redeemed humanity, but we feel our humanness so much. And yet the Lord has covered us with the gold of his presence. We have humanity and divinity joined in our lives. We have humanness, but we also have Christ's likeness upon us. And the Lord says, that is what I've done. I've created you a golden board for my house. And those boards were set into sockets of silver. At the bottom of the boards were fashioned two tenons, it's called, or projections, or prongs, we could say. But the boards were carved in such a way that two tenons were set into two sockets of silver, one socket of silver for each tenon, and they held the boards fast. Those sockets were made of silver, which speaks of redemption and how that we have a secure, steadfast standing in the redemption of Jesus Christ, in the redemption of Christ. We need to stand fast in the Lord. Each foot, each tenon had its own silver socket. Now, these boards stood independent of one another, but corporately they were joined together. We are not dependent on anyone else for our salvation. We stand as a board cut by the Spirit of God. We stand with gold about us, and we stand with our feet in silver of redemption. But we join together to form a corporate structure. Now, the Bible talks about our standing in the Lord, that we are to stand fast. And we can look at it today as we have 2 feet and 2 silver sockets. There's a silver socket for each foot. We don't want 1 foot in God and 1 foot in the world. We want to be established firmly in the redemption of Christ, in our spiritual walk with the Lord. Standing firm. The Bible says stand fast in the Lord. The Bible says stand fast with one mind and one purpose. The Bible says stand up and bless the Lord your God. These boards, it says, God says, I want these boards to stand up. I want these boards standing upright. I don't want them lying down. I want these boards standing perfectly straight and tall in my presence and for my purpose. Stand fast in the Lord. Understand who you are this morning. You've been cut out of the world. You've been severed from the old life and the sap of this world. You've been fashioned and formed and made a board for the house of God. He's established you in silver to stand fast in his redemptive work in his spiritual life. Now, there was a man in Psalm 73 who almost lost his footing because of pressure that was on his life and circumstance and struggle. A man that should have been standing strong in the house of God. But he said, my feet almost slipped. I nearly slipped. He said, I almost lost my footing. He said, I saw the prosperity of others and here I was struggling. Such heavy circumstances, such trial. He was talking about finances and his economical situation. He saw others prospering. He saw the wicked prospering, and yet he was struggling so with his finances. And he said, when I was under this struggle of this financial temptation, he said, my feet almost slipped. He says, until I went into the house of God. Until I went into the house of God. He said, I got my footing back in the house of God. And I began to understand. And he said, Lord, it's not me who is in a slippery place. It is not my feet that are going to slide. He said, you have put those that do not know you. They are in slippery places. Their feet may slide, but Lord, you have established me in silver of redemption, and I stand. He said, who have I in heaven but you? And there's none on earth that I desire beside you. He began to confess the promises of God. He says, my heart was grieved. I was pricked in my reins, he said. So foolish was I and ignorant. I was as a beast before thee. He says, you will continually be with me. You will hold me up by my right hand. You will guide me with your counsel and receive me into glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? And there is none upon earth that is I desire beside you. My flesh and my heart fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. My portion forever. I don't know who I'm talking to this morning, but if you feel like your feet are slipping, you've come to the right place this morning. You've come to the house of God, to revelation, understanding of the Lord. The Lord says, stand fast in my redemption. Stand fast in my purpose. I've given you two silver sockets of redemption. You are lifted above the world. You stand in my glory and in my righteousness, and I will hold you up. And if you get in alignment with the boards properly and get some gold bars around you to hold the house of God strong and sure, you will stand for my righteousness and you will stand in my will and purpose. Hallelujah. Stand fast in the Lord. Stand fast in the Lord this morning. Don't let any temptation, don't let any trial move the path of your feet. Stand firm in what God has given you and who you are in Christ Jesus today. And then each of those boards had gold rings upon them, attached to them, fastened gold rings, perhaps two in a set, and down the board in a number of places, because five golden bars were put through those rings. Those gold rings speak of covenant in our life, of loyalty in our life, that we will offer ourselves in such a way that we will stand in strength in the house of God. And then five gold bars. They were bars made of acacia wood, but covered with gold. Five bars of the fivefold ministry, apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, the fivefold ministry, tighten the structure together, tighten the house of God together. Now the gold bars are, the gold rods are made of acacia wood, just like you. Ministers of the gospel and those that serve in leadership realms and pastoral realms in the house of God, they are of the same humanness that you are. Same weakness, same infirmities, feel the same stresses. They are no different, but God has covered them with gold as well, so they can shine with the glory of God and with the presence of the Lord. The five bars hold the building tightly together. Hallelujah. Leadership, authority, proper alignment under God, and a house of God is built. House of God is built. Within that house, our rooms, the holy place and the holy of holies, within this house of God is furniture. And today as we look within, there is a lampstand in this house. It's the Word of God on fire. There's a table in this house, the communion of the saints, the fellowship of the saints, the strengthening and mutual edification that comes from one another as we work together and live together and feed together. There's a golden altar of incense in this house, a place of prayer and worship and intercession where we call on the name of the Lord and prayers rise to the heaven and a miracle takes place and fire and lightning and thunderings and earthquakes take place in the earth and people's lives are changed. And there's an Ark of the Covenant in this house. It's the very felt presence of God. The very felt presence of God. God says, when you build me a house, make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among you. When you form yourselves properly as the people of God, tightly joined to be a habitation of God through the Spirit, God says, I will come and I will meet with you. I will speak to you. I will minister to you from between and above the arms of the outstretched, the wings of the outstretched cherubim of glory. Psalm 22:3 says, you are holy, you that inhabit the praises of your people. My, how thankful we should be this morning for the house of God. people of God, that we've been joined to, the local family, this building of God where the presence of God lives and dwells. Now, I want to summarize what I said this morning. You can read it in Exodus chapter 26 with three statements and then bring one other statement to you and close out with that. Number one, the house of God is built of believer boards standing upright, the acacia wood of redeemed humanity covered with the gold of the divine nature. We are the believer boards cut off from the world for the purpose of God's house, standing upright, standing fast, the acacia wood of redeemed humanity covered with the gold of the divine nature. Number two, the gilded believer boards by the tenons of repentance and faith are set firmly into silver sockets of redemption. The gilded believer boards by the tenons or feet of repentance and faith, we are set firmly into silver sockets of redemption, not to be moved. Nothing can move us. And number three, the believer boards have gold rings of covenant upon them and are tightened together by five gold-covered acacia rods that pass through the rings. So I know we can understand what this building of God is today. And again, as Ephesians 2:19 says, that we are built together, a habitation of God through the Spirit. Now, number four. Corner boards were added to fortify the structure and provide additional strength at the corners of the tabernacle. This is so important. Corner boards were added to fortify the structure and provide additional strength at the corners of the tabernacle. Now, perhaps we can show you one more picture this morning, and you can see here's a depiction of the house of God. You see the holy place, the holy of holies, some of the furniture inside. You see the boards standing up and the bars that run through the golden rings. But at the corner on the left side, you have two corner boards at the back of the tabernacle, two extra boards that were set at the back to join the two walls. Now, I want to talk about corner strength today. Corner strength in the house of God and corner strength in your marriage, and corner strength in your life, and corner strength in your family. Because the walls are always weakest at the corner. God says, I want corner boards at the corner of the tabernacle because I know the pressure that comes on life and marriage and family and the house of God. And I want that place fortified. I want my people to know they need some corner strength in their life so they can hold when winds come, when difficulty comes. Exodus 26, 23 to 24, here's the scripture. And you shall also make two boards for the two back corners of the tabernacle. They shall be coupled together at the bottom, and they shall be coupled together at the top by one ring. Now, these boards were set in silver sockets too, but they also had a ring at the bottom and a ring at the top where they held the two parts of the wall, the one that was coming from one direction and the wall that was coming from the other. God says, thus it shall be for both of them. They shall be for the two corners. Let's read it again. And you shall also make two boards for the two back corners of the tabernacle. They shall be coupled together at the bottom, and they shall be coupled together at the top by one ring. Thus it shall be for both of them. They shall be for the two corners. Corner strength. Corner strength. Sometimes the church turns a corner. In vision, in transition, in ministry, in leadership, in change of direction by the Holy Spirit, sometimes the church turns a corner. And if you don't have corner strength, you might bow and bend and even fall out of the wall. Sometimes life takes a turn, doesn't it? Sometimes a circumstance changes. Sometimes something happens in a family. Sometimes economics change. There are changes of direction. It's like a family turns a corner. It's like husband and wife sometimes have to turn a corner. And if they are not careful, if they do not have corner strength, it's at that point that a marriage can fall apart and a family can scatter and people can be lost because they didn't have corner strength to take the corner, to take the change that was coming. There's pressure by the enemy. There's pressure on the corner. Sometimes the winds come. Sometimes the winds blow. We know the enemy would like to huff and puff and blow every life, every marriage, every ministry, every church to the ground. The boards can't take it. They don't have corner strength. They'll fall apart. They'll fall out of the wall. We only have to look to the north of our building and see some old barns that lost their strength. And boards are missing, and sometimes families and sometimes churches are a shell of what they should be because the boards haven't taken their place under leadership, haven't taken the placement of the Lord and bound themselves together and to withstand the winds of change and to withstand the corners of life. Oh, how nice it is. How joyous it is to be part of a local church when the sun is shining and the breeze is light. My, anybody can enjoy that. But we should be just as joyful when the winds blow on the house and the enemy attack comes and there's change and there's some corners to take. And we would not fall out of the wall. Not fall out of the wall at the turn. Not fall out of the wall at the transition. Enemy pressure. There's not a person, if you've been part of the house of God for any time, that has not felt the winds, has not felt the attack of the enemy to try and separate the boards, to try and cause the boards to bend and even fall out of the wall. If we're talking spiritual warfare this morning, this is it. There's not a family, there's not a marriage that doesn't feel pressure at some point. The enemy comes. He wants to destroy every house. But those houses that are founded on the rock, that are solid in the redemption of Jesus Christ, will stand. And we need to be wise unto salvation this morning. Wise unto salvation. That we would take our place and we would stand properly before the Lord. For the enemy comes with his attack. The winds blow. Pressure comes on the corners. Pressure comes at the turn. Pressure comes at the place of change in our lives and in change in the house of the Lord. Now, these boards were bound together by two rings at the bottom and at the top. They held the walls together. Two gold rings. To me, those two gold rings speak of the double oath. As the Lord God lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you. A marriage bound together by two gold rings. And we know the gold ring is put on the finger to represent that which is enduring, that which is unchanging. It will go on forever. And it's made of gold. It's made of the most precious metal of glory in the presence of God and covenant life. A marriage that's bound by two gold rings. As the Lord God lives and as your soul lives, my wife, my husband, I will never leave you. I don't care the pressure on the corner. I don't care the turn that we have to make in life. I am committed to you and I will honor you and I will stay with you. And God wants that same spirit in us for our local church family that He's put us in. As the Lord God lives and as my soul lives, I will not leave you. Two corner boards, you and me, me and you, two corner boards. And we need to develop corner strength in our life so we can hold the house of God together when winds of adversity blow and when times of testing come, winds of offense, winds of opposition that may come on your life, winds of discouragement, winds of disillusionment that may come to your spirit. It's an enemy wind. It's a rogue force that comes against your life. And if you don't have corner strength, you may bow and bend and fall out of the wall. Two gold rings, one at the bottom and one at the top. the head and the foot, above and beneath. I want to say to you this morning, don't lose your mind. And don't lose your footing. Don't lose your mind. And don't lose your footing. Don't lose your mind. The Bible says we have the mind of Christ. The Bible says, let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus, Philippians 2. The Bible says, bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Don't lose your mind because you might bend with the wind and you might fall out of your marriage. You might fall out of your family. You might fall out of the house of God. And don't lose your footing. Don't lose your footing. Some people lose their footing. And as the Bible says, they are turned out of the way. Some lose their footing. And they no longer walk in the steadfastness of Christ and the faithfulness they once did. They've lost their footing and they're turned out of the way. Some lose their footing so completely that they actually forsake the house of the Lord and walk their own way once again. Bound together at the head and the foot, above and beneath. Tightly joined together, corner strength, corner strength. You know, when you're driving a vehicle, the danger is at the corner. Danger is not so much on the straightaway. Everything's going along fine. But when you get to the corner, you have to pay more careful attention, don't you? Things change at the corner. Things can happen at the corners. And God is saying for us too that we need some corner strength, that when life changes and situations change and circumstances come and there is a change of direction in whatever area of our life and in the house of God, that we say, now I got to pull in some corner strength and I'm going to stay in covenant and I'm going to pull these walls together and hold for the purpose and the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. Zechariah 10:4, worship team come, says, out of him came the corner. Out of God came the corner, the cornerstone. It's speaking of, but in like imagery or parallel imagery, the corner boards. Out of him comes the corner board. Now this morning I want to close and I know what the Holy Spirit is saying. He's asking about our corner strength. How's our corner strength today? How's your corner strength in the marriage? That when pressure has come and things have changed, how's your corner strength today to say, hey, listen, I'm going to bind together for this family. I'm going to hold this family. I'm going to hold this marriage. Change has come to the house of God, a building program, change of ministry, change of direction, some transition. Things aren't maybe the same. The church has taken a turn. How's your corner strength to hold with the people of God and say, I will bind myself in covenant to this people that I am a part of so we can be filled with the glory of the Lord. The Bible says, let them make me a sanctuary. God says, this is on the human side. I'll work with you. I'll build my church, but you make me a sanctuary. You line up board to board. Stand close one to another. Be tightly joined together. Value my presence. Value the furniture. Value the vessels of ministry in the house and live to bring forth the glory of God. Let's stand together this morning. As the Holy Spirit has been ministering to our hearts this morning, perhaps there are some here this morning that say, I need some corner strength. I'm blown around by my emotions. I'm kind of here and there because of my emotions, what I feel. Things bother me. I have commitments and I let go of them. But this morning, you know the Lord's speaking to you about corner strength. You may need corner strength for your marriage today. You may need corner strength to hold your family together. You may need corner strength for your finances because they've taken a turn, maybe for the better, but maybe for the worse. You say, I need corner strength. God put corner strength in me so I am not moved by this wind of adversity, by this pressure against my life. If you're here this morning and you want to respond to the Lord, the altars are open for you. Please come and spend some time with the Lord. People will pray with you. Come and receive from the Lord. Receive that strength. Corner strength. Corner strength that I can handle change, that I can stand in the day of turn. I can stand in the day of change of direction. I can stand in the day when pressure's on. Say, Lord, I'm here. I offer myself. Any others this morning? Say, Lord, put some corner strength in me. Develop corner strength in me. But I hold together properly. I hold together properly with the house and the family and people you've put me with. Give me corner strength today. Strengthen your marriage. Strengthen your life. Strengthen your resolve in the Lord today. Lord, I will not be moved. I shall not be moved, the Bible says. If you felt like your feet are slipping and sliding a little bit, then this morning, as the psalmist did, say, I'm going into the sanctuary of God. Oh, there in the slippery places, I found my footing once again. I will be steadfast for the living God. Hallelujah. Quite a number that have responded to the altar call, but all of us this morning. Let's ask God to strengthen us as those gold-covered boards to fit into the house of God, to take our place, to be tightened together by the bars of ministry and to stand strong for the Lord. Ask the Lord to put some corner strength in you today, wherever you are, and let's offer ourselves to the Lord. Hallelujah.